happy Father's Day. You weren't here for it. Happy Father's Day to all. A day we as men start to think about our life, maybe think about the legacy we leave behind, and what will we be remembered for? I think we all kind of wrestle with that at different times of life, but even as we get older. And today's the title is, what will our legacy be? But also going to relate it to what the church's legacy will be. It's not just individual, we have to think corporately. Like most of the time when you see the people in the New Testament, they thought communally all the time. It wasn't just them as an individual, it was a community. And so I'll tie that into that part into it, today's sermon too. But today we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 34a, just the first part of it. And this is where Luke records a story about a man named Simeon. Where Simeon is led by the Spirit of God by a divine appointment where he's going to actually see God's salvation. And he connects with Joseph, Mary, and Jesus in the temple. And so we'll, before we read it, we're going to read this section here, but just before this, it talks about Mary and Joseph, they're bringing Jesus, they're bringing to offer their first son to the Lord. And so that's part of the process of, the Jewish culture. And with that, it was to offer a sacrifice for that too. So they're on their way here to the temple at this moment where we're going to have this intersection of a divine appointment that's made that God lines up here. And let's read. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother, Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them. Wow, what a story. Divine appointment, led by the Spirit of God, to meet up with Jesus, with God's promise to him, that he would see God's salvation before he died. Now, I don't know if all of you know that, but Luke writes this years later after Jesus' ascension. And Luke was not around for these events. So he has to research. And he researches and he talks to people that were there during this time, during Jesus' life. So in that time frame, he's hearing stories about different things. So he's going to write down parts of the stories he hears. So he's researching it, and he hears this story about this man named Simeon. And God makes sure that he writes the story down. So he said, well, Luke could have said, oh, I'm going to write. But I believe God's impressed on him to write down the story. There's something for us to learn about from Simeon that God wants us to hear here. So he makes sure Luke hears the story of Simeon and some character traits of Simeon, which are important. So why is it that he has him write this down? That's what we're going to talk about. One of the things, first thing we're going to know is that he knows Simeon. He makes sure Luke knows this man Simeon. And also, he knows Simeon enough that he wants him to see his salvation. So here in the message here is God wants people to see the salvation of God. And so he reveals here, Luke is writing this, especially as he's writing to those that are beyond Israel, as Jesus was reaching to Gentiles too, is that he knows people. He knows individuals and he wants them to see God's salvation. And he's going to be leading them. He's going to be drawing them. He responds to the Holy Spirit. And so he's always leading. That's one of the things we see here. But also Psalm 139, actually, the man doesn't know it, but she actually made a statement about it. The Spirit knows us wherever we are. It's a reference from Psalm 139, which is the next verse. Next chapter. So she didn't know. She had no idea where I was going. And so just so you guys know, God's in on this.
Amen.
So, and he said, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. Just like she was talking about. He knows us. And that actually, I want to tie in Tori's verse last week. Was the same thing. It was like God knows each one of us. And here's this story of Simeon. He makes sure he knows it by name. And calls him out and puts him in his gospel. So let us understand. He knows us. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar, you search out my path and my lying down. and are acquainted with all my ways. I don't know if I like that. He really knows us. And the thing is, he really knows us and he still loves us. So if he knows Simeon like this, and here's the David's writing this, he knows us like that. He knows our past, our present, and our future. And he still wants us to know our salvation. And so here we have it. Besides this, there's other things we're going to look at here in this section about and what we can learn from Simeon as the story is told. Now, it's like, okay, I'm going to tell a story about it's about Tori. And I'm telling Dave about Tori, but in this, here's Luke hearing these stories about Simeon, but the people keep saying, righteous, devout. The Spirit of God was on him. He was waiting for the counselor. Here's these descriptors. So what he's going to do is this, he writes them in. And these are important for us to see. This is important that we'll see. So think this about his legacy. This is what he's remembered for. This is after, I mean, he holds up Jesus. He goes, you're going to see, it's assumed that he's an older man. He's going to die after this. He's going to pass at some point shortly after he sees Jesus. So this is long after. Here's the memory people have of Simeon. Really, what we want. We want people to remember us for what we've done as godly, and it points to Jesus. And here is the same thing for Simeon. And so, but I also want to challenge us. People look at a church after they've been a part of the church and they walk away, or they know the church. There's a reputation they can have. There's a remembrance they have of them. And there's actually, next to the scriptures, Paul makes mention of the Thessalonians. This is really a good point here. Is it's not just individual remembrance people have. People remember communities. They remember a town. Granby, Chicopee, Belchertown. And you know, there's something about those towns people know. There's these characteristics. Well, it's that same thing with churches. And here's one for Thessalonians. Remembering, Paul's writing, and he's talking about, he's remembering. He's remembering before our God and Father. So this is what I remember you for. Your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in Jesus Christ. That was the reputation of Paul. Paul been there a couple times. He says, that's what I remember you for. When I'm praying for you, that's what stands out. And then it says, not only with me, verse 7 and 8, so he's talking about this, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith is in God has gone forth everywhere. So we need not say anything. So I don't have to say anything. Because the example is so strong, by everybody's seeing it in what you're doing. That's what he's writing about this church. I want that to be written about us. What any community I'm a part of. I want it to be our testimony. This labor of love, this work of faith, the steadfastness of hope in Jesus Christ. So an individual legacy and remembrance, but also our community. And so, some realize, some don't, but there's been some good and bad over the years here at Living Gate. There's things people remember. Even we've heard in the first Bible study, there are some people talking about Living Gate, and some things that were split happening. And all. So those things are just good and bad. But right now, we're in new beginnings. We really are. You know, I've been about 7-8 months now. 8 months. And so a new group has come. So it's really a brand new beginning. What will be remembered of us? Forget about the rest, the past. We can't change the past. We don't have the future. We have right now. And we can make a decision to be like Simeon. That's what the point here. The Simeon shapes us, our community. So let's go back to Acts verse 25. If you can go all the way back. Verse 25. Now there was a Jerusalem, a man named Simeon. And I'm going to talk about some things that he says. He said, first of all, it says, there was a man. It doesn't say a priest. Doesn't say a prophet. And this is interesting because earlier in these chapters, if you go read back, read it, people think, well, the Spirit's on him. He must have been a prophet. Well, Luke makes sure that a priest is called a priest earlier, and a little later, he makes sure a prophet is called a prophet. But here he calls him just a man. An ordinary man. Actually, it's not even the word for male. It's the word for person. An ordinary person. So Luke's writing this, so he's making sure, he's not, this, to me, he's making sure it's the ordinary average person. God knows. And that has this kind of remembrance, this legacy. It's for every one of us. So this man, so it's the first one, man, that word man, but they're also, even the name Simeon. This word Simeon, the name means hear and obey.
Hear?
Hear, like.
Oh, hear.
Hear. Hear or obey or both together. Because in their culture, to hear the Lord was to obey the Lord. Because most people, what happens is, most people don't hear the Lord because we've already decided we're not going to do what he wants anyways. So, but in their culture, hearing and listening was for the purpose of obeying. And so he's representative of every one of us. Anyone. Everyone. The average, ordinary person who can hear and obey. That's what we're all called to do. And so here's his example. So I think he makes a point here of making it like this. And this man's name speaks to that. We all can hear God. We can all obey God. That's the first one. Then it says he's righteous. And when he was righteous, what's it mean? It's not talking about he did it. Well, of course he did righteous things, but it's not just what he did. It's like, this is the essence of who he was. He was righteous and devout. When he thought of him, he's like, yeah, man, Dave is righteous and devout. It's the essence of who he is. That's what he's saying about Simeon. Now, that was seen because of his actions. So he's righteous. He lived upright. He was innocent in everything. That's what that word means. He was virtuous. He was living a life of observing and obeying divine and natural laws. Or human laws. So does obedience matter? Yes, obedience always matters. Not just in the immediate, but also future. His obedience matters to us now because we're having an example of it. See, so our obedience will have an impact way after we're gone. It's important that we understand that. We talked about, I think it was you Thursday night, talking about not only what we do, but what we don't do has an impact. It has an influence. So our obedience matters. John 14:23. Now you got to jump real far. John 14:23. As Jesus answers him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. We can read this a couple of ways. If you love me, you'll obey me. Or, if you love me, you will obey me. I tend to read it, when I first was a Christian, I read it the first way. Because it was coming my background, this legalism, strict out of fear and guilt. But here's saying out of love. So his righteousness is our obedience, our righteous life, really speaks about our love relationship with the Father. That's what it speaks about. Our life obedience really is connected to the connection we have with our Father and our love for Him. Now we don't obey to prove ourselves righteous. We don't obey to gain righteousness. We obey because we are already righteous in Christ and we're living out who we are. The more we grow in relationship with the Father and love relationship, guess what happens? We become more righteous. It just becomes common for us. It just becomes very natural to us to start to do the things we're supposed to do. And the word devout. The word devout. What do you think of the word devout? When you hear that, you think, oh, he's a devout fisherman. He's thinking like religious. Goes to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, Bible study, all that stuff. He did all those religious duties and it was out of guilt, out of fear, out of pressure. And that's what I saw devout. But that's not what that word means. That word is an interesting word. It means deep inner reverence. It's something down deep in this sense of reverence for God. And it sees and responds to life cautiously and with forethought. It doesn't just like whatever happens, happens. They're thinking, there's a reverence of God, understanding who He is, who He created us to be, that He's got a purpose, that our life matters, that our choices matter, and they respond to life out of that reverence for God, this deep inner sense of who He is and who they are. And so that really flows out of our relationship with God. And so here he has a relationship with God. Let's go to actually Psalm 139 again, another portion of it. This is a good part of it. And he's talking about the psalmist is writing that he formed me. He's understand God knows everything. But what he's saying is, you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And I think about this deep reverence. My soul knows it quite well. God's my creator. God's the one that made me, is purposeful, knitting me together. There's this deep sense of that now in my life. When I was a new Christian, that wasn't there as much as now. And as I walk with the Lord longer, that sense of reverence, that sense of that, I know it quite well. I'm not going to be moved from that. That's what the psalmist is reading. That's what Simeon has. He says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me.
Wow.
When there was yet none of them. When there was yet none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. And here's a sense of, to me, this just speaks to this, this understanding of who we are, that God is the one who knit me together. He purposely knew me. He's actually developed or planned and purposed certain things for my life. He already written this book, declared the end from the beginning, and he's working all those things. He understood this. So Simeon understood. He actually had a promise. You're going to see my salvation before you die. That's a promise he has from God. He knows it quite well. He's not going to be moved from that. He wants us to live that way. Have this understanding. I actually encourage you to go back and read reading Psalm 139 this last week a bit. And just let your heart settle on that. That he intricately made you, purposely made each one of you, that you can be just like Simeon. And be a person of faith that has the ability to see God's salvation in every circumstance. And this is not just for, I started thinking about the community part. This is not just for individuals. This is meant, I think, for a community. So, see, if we all were like this, guess what the community would be like? There would be this inner, this deep inner sense of reverence for God. Understanding that God put us together. He intricately woven us together. For a purpose. And he's got these things written out for us. Remember the scripture, he wrote a piece of work. To do a work he prepared way ahead of time. And we started to think about this. We always like to, because we're most like American, we're individualistic. We read it individually. But there's a sense here for us to understand this communally, too. Because we see community. When with the Thessalonians, they were people who were devout, right? Labor of love, work of faith, steadfast in hope. That was their sense. They were God's people. That's what they live with. So it's meant for us to have that too. And I say this, we're in the midst of a transition. We're new beginnings. We have to understand, I think we have to come to grips with that God is the shaper of who we are. And we should know the soul of our community that we know this quite well. God is the one that orchestrates all things. It's important. And it says he was waiting for Beckett in Psalm 1. You don't do Beckett, but it says that in waiting for the consolation of Israel. Israel had these promises God gave them that he was going to send a deliverer, Messiah at some time, that was going to overthrow their enemies and put them back in a place of authority and actually reign with him. So they're expecting, waiting for God to overthrow and actually bring recovery and actually bring his kingdom. But it's also Simeon was also looking for something too. He was looking for Messiah. He was righteous about me, he knows and he understands God's words, and he was waiting for God's promised Messiah, but he was also personally had a promise that God would let him see his salvation before he died. And he lived in expectation, anticipation, submission to God. See, this is a righteous devout, waiting, listening to God, knowing the promises. This starts to shape our way we come together. Even as an individual, we wake up in the day and say, okay, God, this is your day. We say, thankful for this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Boy, am I like losing it. so we should think of that when we get within this deep reverence. This is the day God has given me. I'm still alive. There's purpose in today.
Amen.
Today's a community. We come together. This is the day God has given us to be together as a community. We're going to live out our life together even when we're apart. We're in this together. Living that way communally. He understood that, so he lived with this expectation. It changes how we see every moment. Even the hardship. Simeon understood God's larger picture and larger story, that God is bringing all things to their appointed end, and that his story had a part in God's bigger story. That's what I want you guys to understand. And this Simeon understood. He was responding to God, knowing that God had this story that was unfolding. And that he was part of that story, that he was going to step into it. That's how we live life. In his righteousness, and he's devout, and he's waiting on the promise, but he's waiting for God's moment for him to step into that. And then once God wants us to live that way. And so he lives that way. Ooh, I lost this. He's not just looking and expecting to see God's salvation, but to join God in his plan. That's important. Seeming to live life all like that. This is important. This is important. You know, most don't understand or consider God's bigger story, bigger unfolding story. In that we individually and corporately, this is important, that individually and communally, we have a part to play in that drama, in that story that's unfolding. God's already written in his book. We just read that. He's written our part in there. But understanding this, we start to understand that we have that. We really, our soul knows that quite well. Guess what happens? We won't misinterpret what God's doing around us. We'll start to understand what he's doing. We'll start to understand who he is, our relationship with him. And who this is all about. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. And what happens, it helps us personally and corporately live our story out in harmony with his story. That's what we're supposed to do. And what happens most of the time within our American culture, most of the time we're trying to make a place for ourselves. We're trying to make a name for ourselves. I don't want, see, sometimes we think of church and church like we want to have like, we want to be the successful church. And there's this drive within our American Christianity of success, significant, power, big, pizzazz. But we're going to see God lots of times doesn't move in the big and the pizzazz. He moves in seems what's insignificant and the subtle things. And what happens, it drives people to try to make a name for themselves. And instead of recognizing what God is doing and living in his story, they're striving to try to get God involved in their story. And God the whole time has his story unfolding and he's saying, come on, Kenny. Well, Simeon's going, oh, it's time. He joins him in his story. That's what we're supposed to do. This is the example. This is what Simeon was known for, joining God in his story. And it's important for us to know as individuals and as a community. And it says Simeon had the Holy Spirit upon him. Now, this was, you know, where people think he was a prophet, but he has the Holy Spirit on him. And this is what he was known for. It's just a pretty good reputation. The Holy Spirit is always on Tori. He's always hearing the Holy Spirit. Glenda's, the Spirit of God's always speaking to her and she's hearing. That's the reputation we all want, right? That we're connected to God, that we're hearing him. Simeon was known for that in a period of time before the Spirit of God's poured out like it is on us. He had that. So the Spirit of God was on. That was his reputation. He lived with expectation. It's living. I don't always do this. I wish I was better at it. To get up and look at God, where are we going? I'm getting up and we're like, okay, Nancy, what are you doing for today? Kenny, what are you doing for today? Yeah. It's like, we're asking already, like, what are we doing? So we're saying, like, I'm waiting on God. But we're living life, usually we're driven by our own desires. God works within them. But here, Simeon is known for waiting on God. And it says the Spirit revealed to him. And in verse, verse 25. Now, revealed is a transaction. Something got transacted, got passed back and forth. That's what that word means. So he says it, the Spirit got revealed. So there was a transaction he had with the Holy Spirit. Not just like, oh, I feel him. No, there was something very real that was transferred to him, that he understood. He got instruction that he got from the Holy Spirit. This is cool. I want that in my life. I don't know about you. That I actually know, my soul knows it quite well, that when all that he's speaking, I'm like, oh, I got that, God, thanks. And we're joining him. That's what he was known for. It was revealed to him. So, John 15, sorry, next one. 15:4, this is where I'm the vine, you're the branches. You're my friends, and you do what I command you. Do you know you're Jesus' friends? You gotta get this. You're his friends. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. He just does whatever he tells him. No, you're not like that. That's what he's telling them. He said, you're my friends, but I've called you your friends for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He wants us to understand we're his friends. And so when we live in a righteous life, we're devout, there's reverence for God, we know his word, we're listening and trying to respond to the Holy Spirit, what you find we do is like, I sit with Dave on the porch. We'll read, you know, having a coffee together, talk. Listen, there's just a transaction happens, even when we're not talking. And boy, we can talk. At least Dave can. But when we have that, when we have friends like that, we feel at home with each other, and we start to share secrets. We start to share hope we maybe share with nobody else. That's what he's saying. He says, you're not like servants that don't know anything. You're like my friends. I draw you into that secret place that you can hear my secrets. You can actually hear and know what I'm about to do. That's what Simeon says. He said, you reveal the Spirit of God's on him. And he was responding to God. That's what, so, and Simeon uses this, well, man, Simeon was great. He was an ordinary man. An ordinary, average person who was listening and willing to obey. That's at the heart of it. Became righteous, devout, knew the word of God, had these promises he held on to, and he was waiting with expectation. Lived that way. And always responsive to the Holy Spirit. There's a lot here for us to gain. And then, you know, people of Israel, they were looking for Jesus to come, or the Christ to come, boom, and actually overthrow the rulers and give them power, and they could use might and overthrow the governments. And yet that's what they were expecting, is big and powerful. Hasn't changed, right? The culture is no different. There's nothing new under the sun. Last time we looked for things in the big. But how did Jesus come? In a powerless, frail, insignificant baby. See, most missed it, but guess who didn't miss it? Simeon. He was looking for God where God was leading. And that usually doesn't seem to happen where the religious are. It's the exact opposite. And so he's in contrast with the religion of the day. And we're called to be the same way. We live in a culture that looks for the big, the bright, the powerful, the successful, significant. And this is crept into church, and where we expect and look for God in the big things. And he does show up in big ways sometimes. But it seems like he shows up in the insignificant. He shows up in the obscure, powerless in the least. He shows up in a baby born to an unknown woman, teenager, in a small little town, insignificant. All of this insignificant in the world's way, but that's how God shows up. And he wants us to see him there. Where did Jesus find God's salvation? He went to the broken. It wasn't in the temple, it wasn't in the big place, it went to the fringes. And that's where the salvation was, and he brought it there. God is sending forth his salvation today in obscure, ordinary ways, and with ordinary people, you and me. And showing up all around us, will we see it? Simeon's legacy doesn't end with just seeing God's salvation. I love it. He said, okay, there it is. It gets pretty good. He makes a beeline to Joseph and Mary and picks up Jesus. He sees the salvation and he responds. See, seeing salvation is one thing. Responding to what God's doing is a whole other thing. We can see what God's doing lots of times, but we're like, ooh, that's a little risky. It means it requires faith. We have no idea how it's going to turn out. We don't have no idea how people are going to respond. But God's put that before us, and it requires risk. He was willing to risk it. There's a treasure in finding God's salvation, but it means we have to risk it. God doesn't want us to see it. He wants us to embrace what he's doing and join him in what seems to be insignificant at first. Right here. The rest of the Christian world will look at us and you guys are less than a dozen people. Jesus had 12 people. Look what happened to the world. It changed. And so people look for significant things. We can find Jesus everywhere and anywhere. And then what happens? Simeon picks up Jesus and it says he blesses God and he blesses people. In verse 28, 20, and 34. And so it ends at this point. He gets the blessing of seeing God's salvation, seeing the promise, and then actually pouring out a blessing to the Father. Holds up Jesus, blesses God. Then he blesses Joseph and Mary. And so those of us, if we'll commit ourselves to being like Simeon, being righteous and devout, we listen, obey, we know the word, and we hear, and we listen, and we look for God in significant places, and we're risking it to embrace what God's doing, we're going to find that we're going to see God's salvation. Hey, we're going to see it on that Saturday we go to Just Living. How are we going to see it? Are we going to look for it there? And so we can see it there. And what happens? We're going to see God's blessing. And we will bless God, and we'll bless people. Amen? Amen. So the call is to be like Simeon, as individuals and as communities.